Astronomerica presents A Spacewalk Among the Stars. Tonight, M31, the Andromeda Galaxy. Almost everything we can see with the naked eye when we look up in the sky at night is within our own Milky Way galaxy. The moon, the planets, all the stars, and the meandering glow of the Milky Way itself. Yet there are a few distant galaxies that can be glimpsed in a dark sky with just the naked eye. The brightest of these is the Andromeda Galaxy, or M31. This is a good object for autumn observing in the Northern Hemisphere. So first get your telescope set up and ready. Have a pair of binoculars handy too if you have them. Line up the finder scope of the telescope to match the field in the eyepiece, and you'll be ready to go. Pause the program here to get set up. We'll start by finding Polaris, the North Star. The easiest way to do that is to find the Big Dipper and follow the pointer stars, the two stars marking the end of the bowl, until you come to a second magnitude star. Not particularly bright, but prominent because it resides in an area without any other brighter stars nearby. Once you've found Polaris, think of it as the center point of a clock, and move about 130 degrees counterclockwise from the Big Dipper's pointer stars, looking about the same distance from Polaris. You'll see a W-shaped constellation. That's Cassiopeia. Now look toward the side of Cassiopeia in the direction away from Polaris. The right-hand point of the W has a star off of that point. Follow the way that star points away from Polaris. The brightest star that you'll find, after going about the same distance from Polaris to Cassiopeia, is Alpheratz, or Alpha Andromedae. That marks one corner of the Great Square of Pegasus, which extends further in the direction away from Polaris and Cassiopeia. Once you're sure you have Alpheratz, double back from where you came, but more in the direction of the Big Dipper. In that area, you'll see two divergent strings made up of three bright stars each, coming off of Alpheratz. The stars in each string line up in pairs. The first pair is about 7 degrees from Alpheratz, and are spaced only about 3 degrees apart. The next pair is about the same distance further toward the Big Dipper, but spaced about 4 degrees apart. And the last pair, almost twice as far toward the Big Dipper, and spaced almost 8 degrees apart. This pair of diverging strings of stars is the constellation Andromeda, from which the Andromeda Galaxy gets its name. Go back to that second pair of stars, and you'll see a third dimmer star to the west of them in a line, up if the constellation is rising. In other words, the string of three stars lines up roughly perpendicular to the main lines of the constellation. In a darker sky, you might now be able to see M31 just beyond that third star in that perpendicular string and slightly offset to the right. If not, find the three stars in the finder and follow the line up. You'll probably be able to fit only two of the three stars at a time in the finder until you see a fuzzy, elongated glow. That's it, M31. Pause here to get the galaxy centered in your telescope with a low-power eyepiece. M31 is oriented northeast and southwest. A large pair of binoculars mounted on a tripod is actually one of the best instruments for viewing it. Low power in the scope may not even take it all in, unless you're in a fairly light-polluted area and you're only seeing the central glow. The tips of the arms extend beyond the field of view in the lowest power of my Hyperion Zoom eyepiece, which would be 52 power. Turn off any tracking motor and let the galaxy drift for a few minutes to get your compass bearing. Remember, it will drift to the west. In low power, you may have noticed another small galaxy off to the south. That's M32. But for now, let's focus first on the core of M31. Compare this view to more distant galaxies that you might have seen. It's so much closer that the nucleus appears as a huge ball, getting brighter toward a very tiny stellar core. Can you see that point-like core? Use higher power to see it. If you can't pick it out, it may be that the seeing is just not good enough, because the atmosphere will blur it into the rest of the glow. Averted vision may help to pull that stellar core out of the surrounding glow. What you're looking at is a black hole, similar to what probably lurks at the center of our own Milky Way galaxy. Images taken with the Hubble Space Telescope have revealed that the nucleus is actually a double light source, which is possibly caused by clustering of stars close to the black hole at the center. We can never actually see a black hole because it swallows up light, but we can see the accretion disk and material in the immediate area that's spiraling around it. The galaxy is actually the largest member in our local group of galaxies. So even though M31 is about 2.5 million light years away, it's really in our own backyard. 2.5 million light years. That means the light that you're now seeing left the stars and gas around that black hole 2.5 million years ago, before the dawn of mankind. And that glow that you're seeing is the combined glow of about a trillion stars, many more than there are even in our own galaxy. M31 is one of the brightest Messier objects at magnitude 4.4. The first documented observation of it was way back in the year 964 AD by the Persian astronomer Abd al-Rahman al-Sufi, who described it as a small cloud. Being so close, you'd think this would be a good candidate for observing exploding stars known as supernovas. But in fact, there's only been one observed supernova in M31. The official discoverer of the supernova, German astronomer Ernst Hertwig, first spotted it in the core of the galaxy at about 6th magnitude on August 20, 1885, although a few others reported seeing it a few days earlier, but they didn't report it, so he gets the credit. This was the first supernova ever observed in another galaxy. The supernova is no longer visible, although the remnants were imaged more than 100 years later by the Hubble Space Telescope. The Andromeda Galaxy and the Milky Way Galaxy are predicted to collide and merge in about 2.5 billion years. But it's still 2.5 million light years away now. If that distance is correct, and it's been measured by several different methods, the galaxy is about 140,000 light years from end to end. In the orientation we're seeing it, which is somewhat tilted, it looks oval. But if we looked at it from above or below its plane, it would appear round. So the 140,000 light years is its diameter. So from our point of view, we see its bright core and what appear to be arms on each side of it. Now look off to the northeastern arm. Remember that the view drifts towards the west in the telescope with tracking turned off. And in a non-mirror reversed telescope, such as a typical Dobsonian, northeast is 135 degrees counterclockwise from west. You can also get oriented further by noting that M32, if you've spotted that, is actually due south of the core of M31. So how far can you trace that northeastern arm? Well, there's a slightly curved string of three stars off the end. Can you trace it all the way to the closest one? How about to the second star, or the third? If you can trace it out that far, put in your lowest power and see if you can trace it all the way to the bright star, nearly straight out along the galaxy's axis, which is about twice as far from the core as the second star in that string of three. A lot will depend on how dark and clear a sky you have, and the aperture and contrast that you get with your scope. If the constellation is just rising, come back to it an hour or so later, and you should see it better because you'll be looking at it through less of the Earth's atmosphere. The higher up something is in the sky, usually the better view you'll get. Also try putting the bright core just out of the field of view, and use averted vision, or looking slightly away from it, to spot its faintest extent. Pause the program here to see how much of the galaxy's glow you can discern on this side of the core. Now let's trace the arm on the other, or the southwestern side. How far out does that arm go? Can you trace it out to a line perpendicular to the galaxy's axis and that extends up to M32? Spend more time on this arm, putting the center of your field slightly offset away from M32, that is, in the direction the view is drifting, or west. Let your eye wander around with averted vision. Do you pick up anything unusual? Is there anything breaking the uniformity of the glow of the arm at all? If you look very carefully, and you have a dark enough sky, you might be able to pick up a ghostly dark lane, cutting in a curve alongside the southwestern arm on the opposite side from M32. You may only see it at first as a somewhat abrupt drop-off in brightness, although very subtle, or as an abrupt edge to the glow. There are two stars that you can use as a marker to spot the dark lane. They're the first two of any real visibility in most scopes as you go away from the core along the arm on that side, the southwestern side. The outer of the two stars is right in the inner dark lane, which runs over it and then curves slightly outward from the core as you trace it back around the core. It's most easily visible in that arc from the second star to about even with the core on the western side. In fact, if conditions are really good, you might be able to pick up a second dark lane just outside the darker inside lane. The outside lane will not be as easy, and you won't see it extend as far as the inner one. The darkest part will be on a line from the core outward to the west or southwest. If you're able to see these dark lanes, you'll probably spend some time admiring them, because only a few galaxies show dark lanes like this, even in a small telescope. I can see these lanes on a nice, dark, transparent night in my 4.5-inch reflector. How far can you trace one or both of the lanes? It's kind of difficult because they may pop in and out of your vision depending on where your eye is sitting in the field. The lanes are usually best seen in low to medium power depending on your scope and sky conditions. I really like the zoom eyepiece for viewing the dark lanes because I can zoom in and out to get just the right power for the prevailing conditions to see them best. Pause the program here to take in the dust lanes. Another feature to look for along that southwestern arm is something very rare indeed to be able to observe directly, a star cloud within another galaxy. Only a few of the closest galaxies will be bright enough for such details to be seen. An interesting project with larger backyard scopes is to look for some of the more than 450 globular clusters in M31. But this star cloud can be spotted in smaller scopes, such as a 6-inch, in a good dark sky. Look along that southwestern arm, straight out from the core, beyond the perpendicular line coming in from M32, just past a perpendicular coming in from the star on the other side of M32, and about twice as far as the M32 perpendicular is from the core. And you might pick up what looks like a little cloud puff with very ill-defined edges and shape, much dimmer than M32. It'll probably show up best in low or low to medium powers, since it's quite diffuse. It's in an area that's free of most of the brighter field stars that might be visible. This is NGC 206, which is actually a large cluster of young hot stars with associated nebulosity. Now that must be a monster cluster to be so large and visible in backyard telescopes, being about 2.5 million light-years away. This one definitely needs averted vision, though. Once you find it in low power, try medium power to darken the background a bit, which makes the view a little more aesthetically pleasing. Pause the program here if you need more time to find and appreciate this unique object. M32, which you may have spotted already, lies about 22 arc minutes due south of the core of M31. It's rather unremarkable in the eyepiece, other than that it's a bright galaxy compared with most, but it shows only a stellar core and fuzz around it in a roughly round shape. This is typical of many elliptical galaxies, which can often be quite bright, but rarely show any detail due to their somewhat uniform star glow. M32 is a dwarf elliptical, and it's slightly further away than M31, although it's a true satellite galaxy of M31. The galaxy is approximately 8,000 light-years across. If it were somewhere other than next to M31, it would probably get more attention in its own right. Can you imagine the view of M31 from a planet situated within M32? Pause here if you'd like. Now move to the other side of M31, and we'll find M110, also designated as NGC 205. It's a larger and much more diffuse galaxy than M32, with much lower surface brightness. Start from the core of M31 and move perpendicular to M31's axis on the other side from M32. M110 is about 1.5 times further away from M31 as M32 is. It's somewhat elongated north-northwest to south-southeast, and again somewhat featureless, other than a brighter core, though not as dramatically brighter as M32's or M31's core. It's been classified as an elliptical like M32, but of a different type, looser and more diffuse, leading to more recent reclassification by some as a dwarf spheroidal galaxy. Unlike M32, which has no known globular clusters, M110 has 8 of them. The brightest, G73, is 15th magnitude, which is visually within reach of medium to large backyard scopes. Deep images have shown what appears to be a star bridge between M31 and M110. Pause here for a longer view of M110. Now we'll get a little bonus object nearby, actually a few of them, starting with double star Struve 44, which you may see referred to also as STF-44, which stands for Struve the Father. Put in your lowest power eyepiece and put M31 and M110 on either edge of the field of view, or as close as you can if they fall outside of the field. On a clock face, consider M31, the core, at 12 o'clock, and M110 at 6 o'clock. Then move parallel to the southwestern arm of M31, the arm with the star cloud NGC 206 in it, in the 9 o'clock direction, and you'll find a line of three brighter stars whose line, if extended backward, cuts the perpendicular line between M31's core and M110 about a third of the way from M110 to M31. The first of those three stars is the double. Use higher power to see it better. The separation is about 15 arc seconds, and the position angle is about 270. Position angle is measured counterclockwise from north, so the secondary star is to the west of the primary. pause here if you want more time on Struve 44. We'll find a couple more double stars in this area, and remember, these stars are within our own galaxy. The first one is Struve 64, or STF 64, a pair of 10th magnitude stars, separated by just 3.7 arcseconds. So it should be visible in a 4.5-inch or slightly smaller telescope. The easiest way to find it is to go back to the finder scope, put M31 in the center, and you should see a tight group of three stars in the field. They're on the same side as M32, but you might get confused in the finder scope. These three stars are east-northeast of M31's core. Don't mistake this group for the other equally bright grouping also visible, but just off the southwestern arm of M31, south of the core. There are four stars visible in that group. So find the other bright group with three stars and put them in the center of the finder. Now, switch to low power in the main scope. Put the brightest of the three stars in the center and let it drift for a minute or two to find west. Go ahead and pause here. Now that you've found which direction is west again, look to see that there's a string of five stars pointing away from that bright star of the three in a northeastern direction, a string of five stars, roughly away from the direction of drift. The furthest star in that string of five is the brightest. The next one in, that is the fourth star away from our original guide star, is Struve 64. Use at least 150 power to split it, as it's a pretty tight pair, and it'll look like a single star in low power. The pair is lined up just slightly skewed from the line of five stars. Why don't you try to make an estimate of its position angle? It looks to me to be about 270. Pause here for more time on Struve 64. Now let's go back to the finder scope for our last double star, and the last object in our spacewalk. This one is much brighter than the other two doubles that we've observed tonight. This is Struve 79, or STF 79. So let's find M31 in the finder scope again, and the tight group of three stars that we used to find Struve 64. From that group, move parallel to the axis of M31 toward the northeast, that is, along the opposite arm from the one with NGC 206 in it. The first brighter star that you come to along that line has two stars next to it, pointing down perpendicular to the M31 axis. Now move not quite the same distance you've already moved from the group of three stars, and the next bright star in that direction is Struve 79. In my finder scope, M31 is just about to move out of the edge of the field on one side when I have Struve 79 inside the edge on the other side. Your view should be somewhat similar. You'll know you have the right one immediately when you put it in the eyepiece. It's a nice bright pair of 6.0 and 6.8 magnitude stars, about 8 arcseconds apart, in position angle 195. To me, these look electric blue-white. And that's it for this spacewalk among the stars. We've been to the next big galaxy, and back again. Enjoy the rest of your night.